Well, hello.
Hello.
Good evening and welcome
to Miniature Theatre.
I am Leonard Pim Garnell.
Today's episode is entitled
Bad Cinema.
Bad Cinema.
You know, Keith, I wanted to just say this because this is airing on December 23rd.
It is. It'll be so close to Jingle so close. Bells.
And so it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. What are you doing?
trying to sing with you. Was I screwing it up?
Pretty much. Yeah. It was pretty bad. But I think we'll get through it somehow.
Let's do it. Let's try to get through that anyway with my rotten singing and whatnot.
After all, we're only 51 seconds into the show.
I know. What more of a train? That's just the beginning of the train. We're going to get all the way to the caboose
of
train wrecks.
We haven't even gotten to the coal car yet.
I haven't even got coal car.
This episode
of
Considering Some Things, which is the name of this podcast, is brought to you by Nabu Wines. Nabu Wines, NABUWines.com. Give them some love because no one else in this state will. Because the governor shut down everything from indoors to outdoors. But see, Greg Barnett and Jeff Bailey know what they're doing. You can order by mail, but you can also get, if you're anywhere in Ventura County, Los Angeles County, even at the northern tip of Orange County, I believe, our pal Greg will drive down there and he will give you your wine. He will deliver free delivery. Some of the greatest wines you'll have from Napa and from the Malibu Coast AVAs. Wonderful stuff. Varietals are tremendous and the blends are even better. I like them all. I'm biased, of course, but I do love them. NabuWines.com. Type in Nabu15 for a discount.
Right on. And also, by the way, if you are a gigging musician, well, you're not because no one's gigging right now. I shouldn't say that. But if you are a musician and you live anywhere in the 805 from Ventura all the way up to Paso Robles, you really need to consider joining the 805 Musician Network. 805 Musician Network is designed for musicians only. We do not allow anybody else but musicians. If you are a juggler, no.
No jugglers.
If you are a magician, which people get confused, magician, musician, no.
If you go to those guys who wears nipple rings and dances, no.
Yes. Any type of interpretive jazz dance, no.
No.
Now, if you're a jazz guy, sure.
Absolutely.
Jazz dancer, no. Bass player, sometimes. 805 Musician Network is for the musician. Musicians helping musicians. We help each other finding gigs. We help each other if someone is looking for a project. It is the ultimate musician hangout. We like to complain about things, and it's a great place to complain. Just don't talk politics. We don't allow politics on the Musician Network. So there you go.
Like us.
Yeah, we kind of dip our toes a little bit.
We
but
do.
Then we're like, oops. Sometimes we are even, you know, waist deep and we're like, uh-oh, we got to get out of here.
Well, how do we get out of here? There's a riptide.
riptide. Oh my God. We got to tell that story one day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
the perils of Mark and Keith and the riptide.
At Zuma Beach. That was a heck of a story.
Yeah.
805 Musician Network can be found where?
It is a Facebook group. So if you're on Facebook and you do have to answer questions when you join. So when you join, there's going to be three questions. And, you know, what is the weight of a European swallow is one of them.
If you have test anxiety, it's probably not a good place for you to be.
Right. No, they're simple. Just be a musician. Don't try to be a... We've had lots of promoters try to get on. And we're like, no! Same thing if you own a venue. We don't allow venue owners. And that's primarily because sometimes people want to bitch about the venue. And if they're there, then there's a big argument. I'm like, all right, that's it. No venue
I'm not hiring owner. You anymore.
Yeah, you guys are mean. So there's that. So, yeah. So that's how that's going. So, hey, Mark, by the way, I got to ask you something.
Yes, please do.
What you drinking?
Oh, I'm glad you've asked.
All right.
I have a glass here of margarine.
I don't care. Next. No, I'm just joking.
That's sort of like the 805 Musician Network.
Yeah, don't care. Next. So what is it? A glass of
Doug Marjoram's wine, Marjoram M5. M5. Ooh. Like that computer on Star Trek, I believe it was called the M5. But if you've not had it now, see what's interesting to me is Marjoram Winery is located right above where you have played at the former Curtis Winery, now the Andrew Murray Winery.
Yeah, Andrew Murray, right.
So if you walk up the stairs up behind where you guys play, that's Marjoram Winery. And that is Doug Marjoram, who owns the wine cask in Santa Barbara, or at least he did. I don't know if he still does. I probably should be careful. But he's a fine winemaker. This is a M5 is a Rhone varietal blend, like a Chateau Neuf de Pape. So it's Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre, Cinsault, and
lovely. Cournois. Lovely, lovely.
It is. It is very smooth. I think it's a 2018, and... I'm thoroughly. You remember 2018, don't you? Things were good.
Those were the good days.
Good days, yeah.
I'm just reminiscing of the good days. Speaking of, I'm drinking a Final Girl Petite Verdot.
You did it.
God, yeah.
All right. Yeah. How many of those have you got now?
I own right now three. I had four, but I just popped one, so I've got three left.
So you will drink a Petite Verdot. Sorry to interrupt you, but really, seriously, you'll drink a Petite Verdot just like as an aperitif like that?
I had dinner before we started.
Me too.
And you know what this thing goes well with?
Meat.
Meat. Yeah. I had a bacon cheeseburger and it was.
You did not.
I did without the burger.
You had a bacon cheeseburger, so no bun.
Yeah, no bun.
What do? You just eat it with a fork or do you put it in lettuce or what do you do?
Yeah, lettuce wrap it. We wrap it in
lettuce. Lettuce wrap.
Nom, nom, nom.
Keith, well, the pickles
and the tomatoes and this, that, and the other, yeah.
Keith is a carnivore. He's a keto kind of guy.
I'm a keto guy, yeah.
He's keto. He's so keto.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying this as I'm drinking a red wine, which it doesn't have that much. So it's keto, of course, if anybody knows, it's really just limiting the amount of carbs.
Yep.
Got sugars and things like that. But surprisingly, this Petit Verdot probably has 4 to 6 grams of carbs, maybe. It's pretty minor.
Yeah.
Until you drink, the whole bottle, in which case, boom.
which is not above you.
We allow ourselves 20 grams of carbs max. So,
okay, yeah.
That's why I go to the whiskeys, which are no carbs. Vodkas, things like that. There's no carbs. So wine has a little bit.
Whereas I'm sort of like a veg-a-carboholic. Now I'd eat meat all day long, but I like it all, and I don't limit it too much. I probably should, but I do like my carbs. And this time of year, all bets are off. You can't tell me anything. I'm eating carbs. I got... Over there in the corner, oh man, I got a dish full of green and red M&Ms sitting over there. The peanut M&Ms on the shelf there. Let's see what else we got.
Well, real quick. Yeah. You know the difference between a keto guy, which is me, and a vegetarian. Do you know the difference?
No.
Well, I'm not prophesizing or like saying, "Oh, you're killing. You're eating meat. You're terrible." And I don't have this holier than thou attitude, and I'm trying to force. Why I'm keto, but it's so weird.
It is
when keto. Yeah. Well, right, and because I'm keto, I don't do certain things. I can't eat that, and then people get weird about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like going and like someone's saying, "Oh, I had a piece of pie. I had some pie. Sorry, Keith." I'm like, "What are you sorry?"
Did you make me eat it?
I'm like, "What are you sorry about? I'm not the." Keto Nazi, that's how dare you eat the pie? That is too many carbs. I must kill you.
You not have the pie now.
Yeah, no pie. No cookies. I'm not doing that.
I do like a cookie. I do.
Of course, man. A cookie. My wife makes this really, which I absolutely, our snack is this 90%. Chocolate bark she makes.
She told me about that.
Oh my god. And I eat it, And so that is like my dessert. And even then you gotta be careful with it. But she puts, roasted pecans in it and oh my god.
So you're trying to kill my wife? Is that what you're trying to do?
Trying to kill your wife.
Yeah, she can't eat pecans. Yeah.
Ooh.
She's allergic to them.
like anaphylaxis kind of?
Absolutely.
Allergic? Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah. She is allergic to tree nuts with the exception of almonds.
And, well, that's a tree nut.
Yeah, and so I say she's allergic to tree nuts with the exception.
Sorry.
You weren't an English major. It's okay.
I thought I didn't hear the exact. Then when you said I said, and I'm like, oh yeah, you said.
Anyway, so she is, and she's got a lot of allergies that are kind of can be debilitating. I have the shellfish allergy. I cannot eat crab or shrimp or lobster, any of those things, because I too am anaphylactic with them.
How long has that always been? Your whole life?
No, that was adult onset, because I remember eating shrimp a lot as a kid. My 25th birthday, believe it or not, I was dating another woman.
Dun, dun, dun.
And we were in San Francisco. My dad and his company maintained an apartment in Emeryville across the Bay Bridge from San Francisco. And I was up there visiting, and he bought crabs from the marina and served them up for dinner. And I'm sitting there, and I kind of started to, I just didn't feel good. And my stepmom said that I turned red, and I just was kind of breathing sort of with labor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And she ran and got a couple Benadryl, and she made me take two of them. And she said, if they don't work in about 4 or 5 minutes, we're taking you to the hospital. So,
well, now that was okay. So
yeah, it worked.
Yeah. You didn't go into full-blown anaphylaxis.
No, but the Benadryl took it down. My tongue was swelling, but the Benadryl literally started acting almost immediately.
I kind of loved it had been there. Oh, Jesus, let's on, baby. Yeah, Jesus. I just had some crab.
I think I might be allergic to the crab.
Think about his face, like, oh, looking at his giant red balloon face. Like, oh, my God. Your head's a balloon.
I remember going back to the hotel, and I literally fell into the bed, and I was out, and I didn't wake up till the next morning, like, you know, I don't know, 10 o'clock. It was a long sleep.
So that was it. And what were you eating then again? You said it
crab.
Was
crab. Oh.
Yeah. So now have you tried shrimp lately? Or
you know what's funny? A few years later, after Sue and I were married, we were up near, not far from you in Pismo Beach, and staying at the Spyglass Inn, the lovely Spyglass Inn along 101 freeway. Yeah. And
staycation,
Sue,
baby.
Yeah, it was for you. But we were visiting, and Sue had a shrimp cocktail. And afterwards, I kissed her, and my whole lips up to my nose went numb.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, did you ever, that'll confirm it, but I mean, did you ever go to a doctor and they just did tests and they go, oh, yeah, you got to.
Because I have seasonal allergies and I get allergy shots, I did the allergy test, and she said that I did spike a little bit with shellfish allergy. It wasn't huge, but it was a spike. So she imagines.
So now do you carry like an epinephrine pen or?
Nah, no? I just don't eat shellfish.
Well, what if someone kisses you again with crabs?
If you would like those, if someone with crabs kisses me, I kind of hope that doesn't happen.
Well, that was funny.
God,
what is with crabs? Oh, I think that would piss Sue off. You come home with crabs.
Honey, some girl with crabs kissed me.
Crabs.
I'm at a point in my life. This is going to be hard for you and perhaps our listeners to believe, but I'm at a point in my life where random people don't usually come up to me and kiss me.
Yeah, I know.
I don't get it very often. Right. I mean, I'm not saying it can't happen.
Right. And your wife is obviously very aware. How's your life insurance? Because, you don't have an epinephrine pen. She's going to like, mwah, oops, sorry.
Here, Mark, could you just sign this? Yeah. Could you just sign this? Here.
Yeah, just, sorry. not sorry. Mm-hmm. I would. Mm-hmm. I'd totally kiss you.
That's because that would make like the ultimate horror film for you.
Yeah, kissing you. You're right. You're freaking right there.
Well, that's better than what you said before we started recording, so we'll leave it at that.
That's a good point. All right. So I don't know where we are. Where are we?
It's movie night, baby. It's movie night.
But we are going to talk about movies.
Yes.
And so many. You know what? Of course, there's no way we can cover movies in an hour. So let's just. So I'm thinking about. Here's my thing. All the blockbusters that came out. You know, all the amazing movies that we've seen. I don't know. Were you in the Avengers at all? Did you like that?
You know, it's funny. Yeah, I did. I watched them all. I wasn't thrilled by them. I have reasons for that, but I did like them. And I think Robert Downey Jr. is just a freaking genius. I really do.
He is. He's a good
really
actor.
He's terrific. And he really owns his parts, and his parts are, he just inhabits them really well. And I really like that. Yeah, that's fun.
I agree. I just watched another who I thought was a really good actor.
You've forgotten now, haven't you?
No.
Keith's having trouble tonight.
I'm trying to formulate what I wanted to say here and not be mean. Because who am I to be mean? But
you know, the corporation's watching right now.
I know. So this guy was in a lot of great movies. And of course, my favorite of his, and I'm just going to say it. Now I'm going to tell you his name because you're going to know when I say it. My favorite was Gladiator.
Oh, yeah.
Really close behind that was, oh, my God. It was a 50s cop show that he was in.
Oh, L.A. Confidential.
L.A. Confidential.
Yeah, Russell Crowe, man.
Russell Crowe, baby.
Great. He's a great actor.
Great actor. Master and Commander was also really. Yeah. I mean, he's been in some great shows. I mean, I heard he was a little odd or hard.
He throws cell phones at you if he doesn't like you. Whatever.
I know. But, you know, all the really good method type of actors are that way. I mean, Christian Bale, who is a brilliant actor. I don't care what anybody says. He's a brilliant actor. Do I want to hang out with a guy? No. I think he's probably a jerk. But great actor.
Yeah, I Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis, brilliant.
No one brilliant better. Actor. I don't think there's a better actor working. I really don't. And
what was your favorite movie of his?
I have two. So the first one that I loved is Last of the Mohicans.
Man, I was going to say I know which one.
Yeah, but the second one, and it's a toss up because I used to teach The Crucible, and he did a version of The Crucible. He plays John Proctor in The Crucible, Arthur Miller's great stage play, you know.
Okay. I should have caught that.
The film version of it's a beautiful film, really worth watching.
I did not see it.
You should check it out.
Oh, I love The Crucible too.
It's a great story. It's a great analogy. It's perfect. Lincoln, his portrayal of Abraham Lincoln was just extraordinary. Really feel like, and you know, I know his voice. If you listen to his voice in Last of the Mohicans, and then you listen to his voice in Lincoln, it's like, holy cow, it's the same guy. How did he do that?
Right.
It's really, really something.
Well, I loved There Will Be Blood.
What a beautiful film. Yeah.
Just an amazing film. And he was such a jerk.
I drink a milkshake.
But he was great. He was just an evil bastard. I loved him in that. I just loved him in that. And in all his characters, boy, he just becomes the character. There's so many great actors out there that can really invent themselves.
Well, it's Al Pacino, right? It's that group of actors that came to that age. And you know, Al Pacino is so famous that everyone recognize, even the younger kids recognize him. Well, some do, but the fact is, when he plays a part, it's like he's that guy.
Yeah, I really loved that movie with it was him and Keanu Reeves.
Oh, where
he played the devil.
Devil's Advocate. What was it? Yeah.
Well, Devil's Advocate. That was it.
Yeah,
he was one of my favorite devils.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
I know. Hoo-ha! You're going to hell.
You're going to hell. I like that movie, of course, but I'm a Godfather fanatic. That to me, the Godfather is probably the, with the possible exception of Citizen Kane. Although I don't like go to Citizen Kane to watch. I'll watch Godfather over and over again.
Oh God, yeah.
I think it's the best.
Godfather. Yeah.
Oh God, yeah. I'll go and watch that again and again. I have it on DVD, and I have all three of them. I know we can talk about Godfather 3. I know there's issues.
Well, two was amazing.
Two is a phenomenal film.
I don't care what anybody said. Yeah. I think I actually like two better than one, but
yeah, I think that's probably a fair statement. Yeah. It's particularly the history of it, you know, just the way.
Yeah, exactly. They just, three was okay.
And it had issues. However,
I thought it was okay. I'm going to say it was okay.
Well, and you know, what's fun about three is that, it is being re-released as, Coppola has recut it. It is, he's doing a director's cut, and it is called The Godfather Coda. So it's going to be a totally different film from The Godfather Part 3, but done by Coppola to recut in the way that he wanted it to be. Yeah, you know, Sophia, his daughter, is in it, and I'll grant you everything. She's not the world's greatest actress, but yeah, she is a great filmmaker in her own right. She's a terrific filmmaker. She is, I think she's made some of the most beautiful films. Bill Murray is her go-to guy. She uses Bill Murray in all her films, and well, right, not in all of them, but you know, really, really great. So yeah,
they're tight.
I'm a Coppola guy. I love that whole group, and I love George Lucas, but I think he's a sellout. And
oh my, hey man, whatever, but he. I get your point, though. Yeah. I don't know.
Well,
I that defend him 100%.
Just yeah, being a literature guy. I mean, these films are great. Star Wars was brilliant, and yeah, it is the hero's journey. It's Bill Moyers who interviewed Joseph Campbell, and Joseph Campbell, of course,
yeah, Joseph Campbell. Right.
Campbell's work when I teach every day, I by day, I know it's hard to believe, folks, but I have another job.
And podcast at night. But by day, a humble teacher.
A humble English teacher. I teach seniors. And so right now we're reading Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. And before this, we were at Beowulf. And of course, these are hero's journey stories. The hero's journey is a code. There are 12 steps to it. Joseph Campbell.
Joseph Campbell did.
Found these out. He's the one that went, it calls it the monomyth. And it is the hero's journey exists all over the world. And you have to accept it. And here's why, because it's hard to say, oh no, that's not there. It's there. And here's the thing that gets to people, and it really shakes people who are like sort of new to their faith and things like that. Mm-hmm. The Bible is a hero's journey story. Jesus goes absolutely through the hero's journey. There's obviously a difference at the end, but
I would even debate you there.
Well, there's the resurrection in the hero's journey stories. Well, yeah,
correct. Yeah, absolutely correct.
And then the Quran, Muhammad goes through is mm-hmm. a hero's journey story. I mean, these stories are in the Orient, or rather, I should say, they're in Asia, and they're in Europe. They're, you know, they're all over. So they are in our films. That's the Avengers. That's Star Wars. That's right. You know, it's all of them.
Oh, absolutely. We have to relate to that. We have to relate to the hero's journey, the ascension, everything. It all. That's our feel good thing. If you trend a movie, the movies always do really well, and that's why they don't change the formula. And I'm one of those weird exceptions that like I love sad endings.
Yeah, I do too.
I love sad endings. Yeah. I you know, but they never do well if you're trying to please mass audiences.
No, yeah, so right.
It's always the formula of the hero's, you know, journey.
Yeah,
it's formulaic. Yeah, it really is.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, read a little bit of Joseph Campbell. He'll tell you how to write it.
And even
think about
it. Yeah, and even sad endings can be a hero's journey. The Crucible comes to mind for that.
Yeah.
Because it's a hero's journey story, but it's sad ending. It's just that it still completes the coda of the hero returning with the truth or with some kind of, you know, elixir and pointing out to people, you know, here's the truth and you're just not ready to accept it. So I guess I'll have to die. You know, and right. it's really sorry to give it away there, folks, but I love that, and I think that's so powerful because we have to find that in ourselves. That's who we are. We want our own hero's journey. We need our own hero's journey.
Oh yeah, we do.
Yeah,
mankind does. Mm-hmm. I'll say that a million times. Absolutely.
Yeah, we've all decided to sit back and watch while, you know, Dr. Fauci finds it now. But you know, in the meantime, wait, did I say now, that?
I'm going to go back to what I was saying about my Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
So he just did, and there's a new movie out that he's in. I think it was released a while ago.
Was he the angry driver guy?
Yeah, it's called Unhinged.
Is it good?
Yeah, I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Okay.
And his character isn't deep, I mean, or anything like that, other than you feel sorry for him, but you don't, kind of. I mean, he was just angry dude.
Sort of like him in real life.
Yeah. Now, it's funny because you could tell he's gained just a ton of weight, although I was just reading he was wearing a fat suit in it, and I'm having a hard time believing that was the truth.
Interesting. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what they're saying. Anyway, he's this big, heavy, and he was just angry. But it was great. It was actually, we spent money on it, watched it on Prime or whatever. Yeah, it was okay, like, you know, whatever, $6.
Why not?
So talk about reinventing. I'm wondering when the pandemic ends, like, are we going back to the theaters at this point?
Yeah, I am.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. I love movie theaters. I really, the experience can't be beaten. Now, I don't own a big screen TV. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I'm watching a movie tonight. I got back into, that's another story. I'll save it because I'm going off on a tangent now. Yeah, I'll definitely go back into movie theaters. I am absolutely ready to go see a movie. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I lost my taste for going to the walk-ins a while ago.
Really?
I'll do it if it's just an amazing show, but even then, the only time I really like it is if I go on a Tuesday or Wednesday, something like that, where there's no one there. And so this was like a favorite of me and my daughter. We would go like Tuesdays, Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was our date night, my daughter and father date nights. And it was great because we would own the theater.
Yeah.
Like there was no one there. There was a couple of times when literally it was her and I, and that was it.
Yep.
Or there might be one other weird person by themselves. Yeah. And we would just
and they wanted
them
to sit near you.
Well, right. Exactly. Well, my daughter and I are really obnoxious because I don't know if you ever watched Mystery Science Theater.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we invented that. I should say, I did. But that was our thing. We would heckle movies.
Really?
And of course, some people just, if you can get the audience to laugh, oh my God, winning, right?
Yeah.
If you say something just goofy and everybody laughs at it.
Do you actually hear that? You know what? I'm glad you're not coming back to the theater.
Well, again, I've grown up. I don't do that anymore. But if it's just me and my daughter, no one's there, we goof and it's hilarious.
Interesting.
And Stephanie had a sharp wit.
Yeah, she did.
So we just would crack each other up going to the movie. It was a lot of fun. And I miss that. And that's the only time I like going to, because otherwise you're sitting with a bunch of people. There's always, you know, during the movie, all you hear is people rattling with their frickin' popcorn and they're trying to open their packages. Someone's on their cell phone, you know, it's usually right in front of you.
It's part of the joy. Man, that's a good time.
I'm trying to watch the previews, man. I like watching the previews.
I do like the previews.
And some assholes talking or whatever on their cell phone. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shut up.
I've done some interventions in those situations, and I've been fairly successful at it. I've done several personas. I'm the nice guy. Hey, you know, could I ask you, please, could you just turn your phone off? Cause I can't see the screen with that light shining in my eye. And usually they're acquiescent. And I've done the thing where I'll lean over and I'll go, I need you to shut that off now. And they shut it down cause they know I'm going to go and tell somebody if they don't. I've never been challenged. No one's ever told me to screw off or anything. I've just, I've already been successful. But I love a movie theater. Sean Neer and I, the inestimable Sean Neer, and I have, that's a thing for us. We've always gone to see movies. In fact, our big time to do it is usually during the holiday break, the Christmas break. We can't call it Christmas break anymore at school. But the holiday break, we would always go and see movies on the break. Sue and I, right before we got engaged, during the Christmas break, I was teaching, so I had time off, and she was still going to graduate school, and so she had some time off. And so during the 2-week break that we had at Christmas time, we spent, I don't know, six of those nights in the movie theater, and just so you know, that was Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula, Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Loved. Well, yeah. I loved that movie.
Yeah. I know you didn't like it. Do you not like the? I like the
movie.
Yeah, I did too.
Okay, look, I think Keanu Reeves is a really nice guy and really cool, and he seems like he'd be really fun to hang out with. And I do love his action movies. Well, I loved The Matrix. I should say that.
Yeah,
I loved The Matrix, and everything like that. Yeah,
yeah,
but he should have never been cast in Dracula. I'm sorry. Should have never. No.
All right.
No.
All right.
Go watch him again.
Oh, jeez.
tell me what kind of English accent, you know, there were no surfers back in those days.
Dude,
I'm totally being attacked by Dracula, dude.
Hey, Point Break was a great point film. Break was,
all right, I like Point Break. Yeah, it was a good movie.
It's one of my favorite efforts as an Avengers when Tony Stark refers to Thor as Point Break.
Point Break.
Hey, take a break, Point Break.
Yeah, Point Break. No, and I loved Point Break. You know, and again, I'm not slamming the dude because, A, how could I slam anybody who's, you know, making business? And I heard he's the nicest guy in the whole wide world.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too.
So I'm like, okay, but just don't do Dracula ever again. Yeah, you know, if you can't even, I'm not even expecting perfection, but I say, oh boy, oh dear. Mina, I love you. Do you love me? I mean, come on.
I know.
How hard is it to do an English accent?
Oh, you'd be surprised. Kevin Costner, put him in front of
it. Oh, let me throw, yeah. I mean, I by then, you know, when he did that, he was all of a sudden the big actor.
Oh, that was just so horrible.
But it was horrible. I'm like, dude.
Robin Hood was about the worst thing I've ever seen.
It was a terrible thing.
Thank God Russell Crowe saved it a few years later. He did a version of it, which was really good, actually.
See, going back to Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe. Fighting around the world with Russell Crowe.
Fighting around the world.
Fighting around the world. Russell Crowe.
Right.
You know, it's funny. So this time of year always harkens. I am a Christmas fanatic. I love Christmas time.
Yeah.
And right. That's my favorite thing. And so I love holiday movies. And, you know, at the top of the list these days, I've got several, but I've always got to watch Elf. I've become an extraordinary Will Ferrell fan. And I love Jon Favreau. I think he's great.
Yeah.
I cannot. My daughter and I will just prank on that the whole season long. Mm-hmm. Did you hear that?
Now, was that your favorite Will Ferrell movie?
It's close. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's probably number one, if not number two, but I really like Daddy's Home and Daddy's Home 2.
Did you really?
Yeah, I thought they were hilarious.
Wow. Daddy's Home 2 featured an Indian motorcycle. That was
It did. And it's also at Christmas time. So
actually, you know, Mark Wahlberg became a spokesman.
Did he really?
For Indian motorcycle. Yeah, he did. That.
You're just jealous because you didn't.
No. Marky Mark, come on.
I like Mark Wahlberg. He's a good actor.
He's
a good actor.
I did like him.
Departed. Did you see The Departed?
Departed was very good. Yeah. Even the best. Leonardo was the best.
That was his movie, I think.
Yeah. Jack Nicholson, even his Boston accent was a little suspect.
Yeah, and Matt Damon. Yeah, Matt Damon was fine because he's from Boston. But
yeah, well, right. He nailed it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Leonardo was good. Where was I going with Leonardo?
I don't know.
Wait. What were we talking about?
Movies.
You cut me off. I was about to talk.
Holiday movies. We're talking
holiday
about Will
movies. Yeah. Oh, Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Back to Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
So I really liked Step Brothers.
Very good movie. Do you remember the one we saw together with Scott Wolf or were you with us? Did you come? Because Scott and I and Jen Sue saw it in Santa Maria. I don't know if you came with us or not.
Probably not. I don't remember.
Blades of Glory.
That was funny as hell. The one scene when they did it, they had him upside down. Yeah. And his balls were right in his face. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God. I just fell on the floor laughing.
I was very, very funny. Yeah.
I mean, it got a little formulaic. They did another one where it was about rock and roll, and they were like Norwegian, like ABBA. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, yeah.
The Will Ferrell movie. Yeah.
It was
just like, okay. I mean, you know, they're kind of going with the same kind of jokes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It sort of becomes this formulaic thing after a while, and you're like,
Talladega Nights.
Step Brothers. Yeah. Talladega. That was cute.
Funny. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that and Step Brothers were very similar. Yeah. This complete moron is like, how do you really make it that far?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But
yeah, those are fun movies, and I enjoy them. I have a good time with those.
Have you gotten into, so I'm going into, because there's just no real good movies coming out, really. I mean, they're going right into like Prime and things like that. I mean, they're coming out, but like there are series. So like on Netflix, I think you can catch Schitt's Creek. Ever seen that at all?
It's funny you mentioned. I have not seen it, and I've been told to see it, and I'd like to see it.
It is really cute. It's funny. And you got to get the first season, whatever. But I mean, it gets funnier and funnier. And of course, it's, you know, the cast and characters that are doing all those, you know, going back to First in Show and
Best in Show.
Best in Show. Waiting for Guffman.
Yep.
What was the one where they were folk singers? I'm trying to remember that.
Oh, A Mighty Wind.
A Mighty Wind. Hilarious. And of course, my favorite, which was Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap. Rob Reiner films. You know, and Christopher Guest and Michael,
McKean.
Thank you. Boy, I almost blew that. Michael McKean.
It was Lenny.
Yes, he was.
You know, we just lost Squiggy.
We just lost Squiggy. That was very sad.
My Squiggy.
God rest his saintly soul.
Did he do anything other than Squiggy?
I don't think he did.
McKean actually took off and became a pretty good character actor.
Michael McKean is great, and he's Best in Show might be his very... Oh, I don't think there's a better funny film... American funny film than those films. I really don't. There's some classic humorous films, but I mean, I don't think you get much funnier than like A Mighty Wind, Best in Show.
Best in Show was hilarious.
Roger Ebert said that Best in Show was one of the funniest films he ever saw, but he also made a really interesting comment about A Mighty Wind. He said, you know, A Mighty Wind is as funny as it can be. It's a great film, but the songs are too good.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
The songs are too good.
Yeah, it was a good show. I don't know what you're talking about. Because the characters are just funny, you know, and they all just always, whatever character they're going to take on is just hilarious. Yep. They're going to be these odd.
Very.
Another Netflix show, by the way, that I got into, and of course, because of the original, but Cobra Kai.
Well, big fan, huge fan.
Right? And that's because
that speaks to us. We're Gen Xers,
William.
Man.
Yeah.
So William Zabka, what we should expose to the audience, two things, that both Keith and I went to high school with Billy, Billy as we knew him. And Billy is my brother's closest friend.
Right.
So they're very close. I don't see Billy much, and I don't even think Jerry sees him much anymore. But they talk quite frequently, and Billy's a great. And I thought Cobra Kai was the perfect blend of kind of capturing that very, you know, milieu of the 80s,
right?
And bringing it forward and giving. I mean, Ralph Macchio as a car salesman is just brilliant.
Oh, that would crack me up! My God, and he hasn't changed a bit.
No, it's wonderful. Moly. Yeah, it's.
Hair dye is an amazing thing.
Well, and Billy really hasn't changed either. It's just
that's true.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
It's funny to watch. I think in many ways it's the two of them. You know, they produced it. They produced the show.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I think in many ways it's got to be difficult. I keep coming. We should have Billy on the show. I keep telling my brother he needs to call Billy and have. I can see Billy Zabka enjoying all the success, going, yeah, I'll do your show. Yeah, sure.
I would have done this about 5 years ago, but
I don't need you anymore. But he, you know, I really find the character to be compelling, and it's just fascinating to me. It's very much what I would expect Johnny Lawrence to grow up like. You know, if you kind of project Johnny Lawrence out, it's like, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, the only difference is you can see, and this is because everybody wants him to be such a good guy and everything like that, but you see him evolving even now.
Yes.
Because, you know, the beginning of the show, he's as drunk, you know, womanizer still, which is, that's how you saw him going. But somehow, now the karate's back, he's like, maybe, you know, things are cool.
Yeah, but it changes him, and I love that. And that's what it is. It's the hero's journey.
It's the hero. Yeah, correct. Correct. But other weird shows, have you ever gotten into? I mean, if you're into, you know, not horror as much as sci-fi, but Black Mirror. Have you ever watched any of those?
No, my brother told me about this.
Love sci-fi anthology. I mean, I've seen them all. 5 seasons, amazing. These short stories, and they're all very, very cool. And a lot of it is dealing just with like technology in the future.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
How bad it can get if we're not careful. I love it. I mean, they're just amazing. I can't remember that one actor where there's this one, you can have this computer program where you're all of a sudden the starship captain. Ooh. And it's making a decision, but then he managed to draw these real actors into his computer program, and they were real and horror. Anyway, great show. Yeah, you gotta
watch it. Yeah, I've heard it's great, and I love that what's happening on television. And I think television, because of Netflix, because of Prime and all on Hulu and all of it, it really is showing some really cool stuff. You can watch
absolutely it. Absolutely. I mean, I don't get into a whole lot of TV shows. That should although no. There are a few. Breaking Bad. Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't watch it all. I watched I watched like at least 2 seasons, but I didn't love it. I thought it was good, and I thought it was interesting and curious.
It got better. If you would have got past that, same thing. That was me and Peaky Blinders.
Oh, I couldn't.
Everybody swear. Yeah. I couldn't get past the first season. No, me either. Couldn't get past 3 episodes. I'm like, bored.
Yeah.
But the Breaking Bad series, especially the last 2 seasons, holy crap,
really.
And but it's really interesting watching him evolve from this, you know, this bumbling teacher,
yeah,
very much like you, into into what
a
he becomes,
criminal mastermind, right?
Right. And then of course Bob Odenkirk, who plays Saul, his lawyer. He's actually Jimmy McGill or whatever, but Better Call Saul, which is also, and this is,
now, is
this
good?
I love it. It's absolutely brilliant.
Okay.
And again, it's a precursor to Breaking Bad. So how he became, you know, Saul, and because he was Jimmy McGill. And it's just, oh my God, it was a great show. Great show. I absolutely love it.
Might have to watch that one too.
Yeah, I haven't caught the last season yet, but it's really fun.
Well, you know,
I highly suggest.
All right, I'm going to do that. I might even do it here over the break from December 18th. But you know, it's funny going back to the hero's journey thing, which certainly a part of Breaking Bad is. I'm going to right now. So get this. The other night, I found out my daughter's coming home for Christmas, and I'm very excited. And
yay!
Yeah, very excited about that. And I knew that one of the big things, she's going to want to watch Christmas movies, which is one of the things we do together. I'm very excited about that.
Christmas time is here.
Time for toys and cheer.
Oh, sorry.
All right. Lord of the Rings is on, and lo and behold, I find myself now. I'm a fan. I read the books. I read The Hobbit. I love the Tolkien stories, and I saw all 3 movies in the theater and loved them. Thought they were brilliant, really well done.
Absolutely.
Then, so they're on here on Hulu, and I thought, well, she's not going to want to watch those, and I kind of want to see them. I don't watch a lot of TV during the week, and when it's just Sue and I around, I'll at nighttime I watch, you know, Monday Night Football. I'll watch games. I just little stupid things that just, you know, kind of stare at the TV for half an hour. Well, I turned on Lord of the Rings, and I'm in the midst of the full on marathon, and I'm watching them. I'm now halfway through the 2 Towers, and brilliant, fun, interesting. Mm-hmm. The characters are just dead on, and they're, you know, it's just wonderful.
I loved them all.
Yeah.
I could watch them a million times. Now, I'm going to admit, and I didn't get into, I don't know, take that back.
Okay.
I'm not even going to say that. Well, I mean, Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So I didn't get into all of them. That's the thing.
No,
so
I
couldn't tell you, whereas I could talk about the Lord of the Rings. I can tell you about the whole journey and the, you know, the Hobbit and everything. I loved that. Yep. I was so entrenched at 6th grade.
Yeah.
You know, reading, I read The Hobbit.
Yep.
You know, my teacher says, you've got to, you know, just, I had a great teacher.
There you go.
Who had the map.
Middle Earth. Nice.
Yeah.
You know, I read all of Harry Potter's books, and I loved the books. I think the films were just fine, but the books are great. The books are far better than the films. And
no doubt. Like most.
Yeah.
But what film was better than a book?
There are some. I think The Godfather is better than the book.
Well, yeah. But I'm going to say that's an exception to the rule.
You're right.
Most of the times, especially like, again, I was a big Stephen King fan. I know you're not.
Yep.
But his books are so much more intense than the movies.
Yeah.
And there are a few movies of his that I thought were great. A few.
Yeah. Green Mile, I thought was brilliant.
Green Mile was brilliant.
Yep.
That was one of the few where I thought the books were amazing, but they just nailed it with the movies.
Yeah, they really did.
And Shawshank Redemption.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Which was actually the short story was Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption.
Interesting. Yeah.
Short story. And based on a short story. It was great. But they nailed it. So there's a few.
You know, I love Stephen King, believe it or not. One of the things, for many years in my teaching career, I taught a composition class. And one of the things I would have the students do is they had to find a book by an author that dealt with the subject of writing. And of course, Stephen King wrote on writing. And that book is probably one of the best. If you're interested in writing, you should read that book. Because it will do two things for you. The first thing it will do is it will give you the basic understanding of what it means to sit down. As Cyrus Narasta, who we interviewed here on the podcast, said, writing is a combination of ass plus seat.
Right.
And Stephen King talks about that. But he also makes it very clear. Look, this isn't – everyone wants to be a writer, but no one wants to sit down and write. and he talks about that. He says, look, it's one thing to talk about it, but it's another thing to get your fingers on the keyboard and start tapping away.
Right.
And he did that and still does, I think.
Oh yeah, I'm envious.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to. Never came. I've written some short stories here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never really the novel that I always.
No, I couldn't. Now I'm a journalist and by trade, and I've written a lot and I like writing stories. I've got I don't know how many files in my Google Cloud of things I've started that I thought were clever, and I get 3 pages or 4 or 5 pages into it and go, okay, I'm done.
Yeah. I still have regrets because I've done a lot of short stories, written a ton, and then they're gone. I have never saved them.
Oh, you gotta save them.
I know. Trust me. I still think. I remember when we would do the short story contest.
Chris Ullman. Yeah. Chris Ullman. Yes, absolutely.
Right. I wrote a great little short story called Revenge of the Kokutai.
I remember that.
You remember that? Yeah. And I got the idea simply because reading about the Kokutai and how they were these, you know, an elite Japanese fighter squadron.
Yep.
And I'm like, the Kokutai, because I used to play this game called Air Warriors.
Air Warriors.
And it was a computer game on America Online. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
I learned about the Kokutai and what they were, and they were just badass pilots, and they were just elite. And I'm like going, ooh, ghost pilots.
There you go.
What if they were going to come back? Anyway.
Keith is also responsible for one of the great Halloween readings of his original story called The Fall of the House of Cliché.
I don't have that anymore, and I thought it was brilliant.
I did too. I came across them. Roland Mann, who I've also had on the show. We've had Chris Allen. We've had Roland Mann. Roland Mann had them, and I'd submitted a couple stories to him that he's published, and he may still have them around. I'll have to ask him if he can find them, because that would be neat.
I would love to find it again. And I know it wasn't perfect. You know, I was young and writing it, but I just thought the concept of just cliched horror was going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was. I thought it was.
Yeah.
And I did in Valentine's Day. I can't remember the name of the story, but I wrote a story about a hitman who would dress up depending on the time of year. So if it was like... Halloween, you dressed Halloween, Christmas thing. If it was Valentine's Day, which is what we were doing, this was Valentine's Day, and he dressed up as, the dude with the bow and arrow. And
Robin
he showed
Hood.
Up. Yeah, no.
We're back to Robin Hood again.
Yeah, so it was a hit, and it was a singing telegram.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah,
you know, and he had these little wings on and a little heart, and he was a big dude or whatever. And the gal's like, "Oh," and he's singing, "It's Valentine's, and I just gotta say, this is gonna be your last day." And he pulls out his bow and arrow, which looks like a prop, and he just shoots her in the heart.
Oh my gosh!
You don't even remember the story,
no?
Because it was. I still remember my concept. I'm like, "This is great." And this
that's
what
a
he does.
Great idea.
His MO is he always shows up as a singing telegram, and you know, if it's close to a specific holiday, that's when he will snuff you. So on Valentine's Day, he shows up. You know, on a Valentine's, if it's you know, whatever. All
that's kind of genius, man. That's kind of good.
Right, 4th of July, he's got the little 4th of July, and he'll blow you up or something like that. Throw a stick of dynamite at you, you know, and that was M.O. He was, you know, that was his.
All right.
I can't remember the name of my story there, but it was great. That's nothing to do with TV shows at all, by the way.
Here's how we're, and that's why I'm going to bring us back to it. Here's how we're going to wind up, we're going to wind up the show. I'm putting you on the spot, and you're going first. Top five movies of your life.
Of my life?
Yep. Top five movies. You get only five. What ones are you picking?
Oh, man, that's harsh.
Yep.
Because mine's going to be so different from yours.
I know.
so different. I'm a horror guy, so there's going to be a lot of horror.
All right. You only get five.
I know. You know, you have to say Jaws.
Yeah, I think so.
Because that goes in all kinds of genres.
Yep.
I mean, absolutely.
Yep.
The scariest movie of my life to this day was The Exorcist.
So oh, my gosh. And a great film.
It was a great film. It was cutting edge for its time.
Yep.
Scared the crap out of so many people. And I saw it way too young. Gave me nightmares for like ever. And I still respect the film for what it is.
Oh, absolutely. So
just respect it.
Yep.
Of course, I love the zombie genre. One of my favorites. And Night of the Living Dead is there. But, caveat, the Zack Snyder's remake of George Romero's
Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead. Thank you. That was the word. Dawn of the Dead. 1984, Zack Snyder remade it, and he introduced fast zombies.
Yes.
Freaked me out.
Yep.
Fast zombies. Because really, wow. Slow zombies, I can take them. Fast zombies, you're going to... Yeah, that's truly how a zombie apocalypse would really happen.
Yeah.
They have to be fast zombies like that. And of course, Max Brooks wrote a book and it became World War Z.
Yep.
And his whole point was they were super fast.
Yep.
And when you got bit, it took about 10, 15 seconds and you became a zombie.
That was Max Brooks that wrote that?
Max Brooks, who
Mel
as you
Brooks'
know,
is son.
Mel Brooks' son wrote it, correct.
So Jaws, yeah. Exorcist, Dawn of the Dead remake. That's three.
Yeah. That's three.
I'm writing these down, man.
I know, because you know, tomorrow it's gonna be totally different. It'll be totally different. Pulp Fiction.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
I know, and that's not scary at all, but it's probably one of my favorite movies.
Okay.
I loved Pulp Fiction. It was brilliant. Yep. I like Quentin Tarantino movies.
Sure.
So anyway, Pulp Fiction, where are we now?
You're at four. You have one more.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Pulp Fiction. I'm going to forget, and I'm like, no, wait. Not that one. I lied. Shoot. See, I'm taking too long. This is tough.
I know. It is. It's tough. It's hard to do. Plus you have to ask, okay, so let's say if you chose Lord of the Rings, well, do you count three of them as three of the five, or is that just
one?
Get
the trilogy?
Yeah.
Or you have to pick.
You have to pick one. I mean, what can you do?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
We'll
be liberal here. We'll say you can pick Lord of the Rings and that's or Star Wars and pick that. You know, that's fine.
All right, so I'm going to go campy on you.
Okay.
And pick Evil Dead.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard that's a brilliant film.
It was just hilarious. I love Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
And it's so B-movie campy, but for its time, it was just, spooky and yet almost funny, especially Evil Dead 2. I'm going to say Evil Dead 2, by the way, specifically.
Okay.
Loved Evil Dead 2. That one of my faves. But my God, you know, the original Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's number six.
I know. Original Halloween, though, that's...
Well, you're cut
that
off.
That movie was scared the crap. I mean, that was just like, oh my God, oh my God. It was spooky as hell. And it wasn't even as choppy up as all the new ones. But half of that was that anticipation, this creepy guy. It was great. Great, great stuff, man.
You're done, my friend. You're over.
No, wait, I'm not done. Because also, oh, dude, there's so many. Go ahead. How about you? Your turn.
My turn. I had obviously a little more time to think about it than you, but The Godfather is number one for me.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Godfather is I still think in many ways it's like the perfect film.
I'll make you an offer.
Make me an offer. I can't refuse. I could stick with Coppola and that whole group and be a pretty happy guy. And my dog is talking to me now.
See, now I got to bring up Goodfellas, man.
Oh, sure. Goodfellas. Yeah, it's a great film. Yeah.
And brilliant.
Yeah.
I just got to say, I loved it. I mean, as far as, that's it. You got to pick like genre. What's your favorite of this genre?
I know.
What's your favorite of this genre?
No.
Not just your five best.
This
favorites.
Is your five films of your life, my friend.
I want to redo.
When you start the game, you can play it.
All right, you're fine. I'm going to do this too. And I'm going to plan mine very well. All right, so go ahead. You got Godfather. That's number one.
You see, people, this is what this is what I deal with. This is our friendship for 42 years. Oh, my goodness.
Are you done yet?
No.
All right. Two.
Jaws, definitely in the top five.
All right. There you go.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Jaws is definitely in there.
I thought that'd be too scary for you.
But it's such a good film. It's so well written. It's so tight. It's just all of those things. And you know
what? And who didn't love Hooper as the, you know, the character?
Richard Hooper!
Hooper!
Full throttle. I loved
Show that. Me the way to go.
Boom, boom, boom.
Tired animal. Go to bed. Had a little drink about an hour ago.
All right, that's enough of that.
All right, number three.
I'm going to stick with Steven Spielberg in number three. There's so many to choose from. But
wait, let me guess. Right. No,
go ahead, guess.
No, I don't want to guess.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, man.
Raiders. Oh my God, why did I not see that? And that was a great movie too.
Yeah, yeah. It was campy enough to be funny. It was all of those real Steven Spielberg tools that he brings to a film, from camera angle to deadpan one-liners to all of the stuff. It's just
snakes.
Really, you can ask your Amazon Echo. You can tell her, say, you know, Alexa, why did it have to be snakes? And she says, asps. Very dangerous. You go first.
I got to do that. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then you can also say, I think we need a bigger boat.
Oh.
Yeah, for Jaws. So,
all right.
So, yeah, The Godfather, Jaws, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay, number four.
Okay. We're cutting it fine now. Star Wars, the number four. A New
Number
Hope.
Four.
A New Hope. The first one. The one that started it all.
Yeah, that is the one who started all. Yeah. Right.
Yep, that's number
four. I saw that at the drive-in.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was brilliant. I loved it. You're like, wow. I mean, the special effects for its time.
Pew, 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 pew.
Pew, pew. These are not the droids you're looking for. aren't the droids we're looking for.
I could probably Lincoln really comes in there. I would probably say Lincoln is number five. However, I'm going to go with Silverado.
I loved Silverado. Oh, that was another great movie.
Yeah, absolutely. So
Who was your favorite character?
Kevin Klein. Kevin Klein. Yeah, he was great. Although Kevin Costner was good in that film. Why couldn't he keep doing that?
He was that young.
Yeah, and he was funny. Know, he was
gunslinger.
Yeah. So Keith's top five films for his life are Jaws, Exorcist, Dawn of the Dead remake, Pulp Fiction, and Evil Dead 2.
Yes.
My top five films for my life are The Godfather, Jaws, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Star Wars A New Hope, and Silverado.
So any mention at all of Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, that's not going to happen.
I don't think so.
Not an honorable mention anywhere.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. You know, we've hit an hour just perfectly. I think this is the perfect show.
It's a good time to, yeah. No one cares about what we like to watch.
I don't think they do.
Like, they don't care. If you ain't watching The Office. I love The Office. You ever watch The Office?
Yeah, I do. I think it's funny. I really like it.
It's hilarious. I watch the reruns like all the times, and I just love The Office. It's fun.
It's good stuff.
Fun show.
Well, if you celebrate, we wish you a very Merry Christmas.
And, yes, we do.
And watch some holiday films. Ho, ho. It's a good time to hunker down and watch some movies, my friends.
Ho, ho, ho. How the hell are you?
Hey,
you've been listening to Considering Some Things.
You have. And watch the 1951 version of A Christmas Carol with Alistair Sim as Ebenezer Scrooge.
That was the only good one.
So good. I mean,
Bill Murray Scrooged, meh.
It's fun.
The original one. No, it's fun.
Yeah,
but the original, yes.
Well, the original goes back to the 1930s, but you know, yeah, this guy, Alistair Sim, and the filmmaker makes it brilliantly. It's scary, it's fun, it's worth seeing.
I agree. Go see it, Tim. Go watch it. I don't know, you go see it anywhere, but you just go watch it on. I don't know if you can find it on Netflix. I don't know.
You probably could. I don't know.
All those Christmas things, man.
Yeah, they're great.
Christmas Story. You and I went and saw that.
That's a great film.
And it's now a classic. Yep. It's considered a classic now. You and I went to see it at the walk-in.
Yes.
Back
in the good old
days. One of the few movies you'd go and see.
You remember the movie that changed our... We saw movies all the time. You know, the movie that changed our lives, remember that? We sat there and watched it. Never Cry Wolf.
Wolf. That's a great movie.
Yeah, man. And I read the book. I love the book. Yeah.
It was a good movie.
Yeah. Never Cry. Yeah. Both of us, the film ended, and both of us went, I'm moving to Alaska.
That's it, man. We're going to be mountain men. Mountain man. Yeah. No, you know why I will never move there?
No.
Bears.
There are a lot of bears.
I don't give any crap. They're not cute. They're not funny. They will kill you.
Bears will kill you.
They will eat you and kill you. They're big. You can't beat them up. They just giggle at you and eat you.
Slowly.
You're in your little sleeping bag. You're just like a big old soft taco.
You're a burrito.
Human burrito to them.
It's so funny.
Yeah, bears horrify me.
They really do.
Like two things in this world that scare me.
Did you see the movie The Bear?
No.
Oh, David Mamet, Alec Baldwin, Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was great. That was called The Bear? That was called The Bear.
I believe it was called The Bear. I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, I mean, it was great because Anthony Hopkins ends up being that, you know, he was reading, you know, about reading survival books.
Yeah.
And, of course, he knew how to survive. And
I don't think it's called The Bear.
No, I don't think it is. It's totally something else. I knew it wasn't called The Bear. I can't remember what it was called.
There is a movie in 1988 from Jean-Jacques Annaud called The Bear, but that's not the one.
Have you seen The Revenant?
I have not, and I'd like to
see it. Oh, my God. Yeah. How have you not seen The Revenant?
I know. You'd think I would watch that all over.
Because, it's history. It's how these guys survived back in the day. Oh, my God.
I got to see it. Yeah.
Because the bear attack was just like, woof. And that's just even a small part, but how he survived it and lived. And, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And there's another bear attack movie called Backwoods.
I've heard of Backwoods. Yeah,
the
movie with the bear in it is called The Edge.
The Edge was what it was called. Very good.
Yes.
Way to go, Google.
Yeah, Google helped me out with that one. That was a good one.
The Edge was a good movie, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was very good. So it made me realize bears.
Bears are tough. Yeah,
bears. I will never go to the. I mean, if I go to Yellowstone, any place, Yellowstone, and all that stuff, I'm bringing a shotgun.
Have you not been to Yellowstone?
No,
it's time to go. I've been
close when I went to Sturgis, and we talked about it, but I want to go. I just haven't.
Extraordinary place.
I won't go.
I've been twice. Bears. I'll go with you because I took a photograph of a grizzly and her cub.
Holy shit! Yeah. Are you still alive?
I'm still alive. Well, I did it from the car. Some people were getting out of their car. I was not doing that. Yeah.
No, you don't want a bear to get a hold of you because that's it.
We're now officially in the after show, ladies and gentlemen.
I know, but I know this was our, movie episode, but we're talking about bears. But there's great bear movies that scare the crap out of you, give you respect for how evil bears
well,
are.
Well, yeah, Legends of the Fall. Legends of the Fall.
Oh, that was good, yeah. Good, of course, he ended up taking the bear's toe in the end.
Good, he did. Good for you. Well, and then he died, and he got killed by the bear.
Yeah, well, he deserved it.
Bears will do that to you.
You're not going to win. Ain't no winning a bear fight.
There's a great, Ken Burns, I think his brother Rick Burns, made a film called The West. It's a documentary you can see. And if you read it, oh, no, it's not that. It's the Lewis and Clark Expedition. It is Ken Lewis Burns. Clark,
yeah.
Lewis and Clark Expedition. And when Lewis and Clark and the Corps of Discovery are going up the Missouri River toward Montana and around there, they're told by some of the friendlier Indians that they'd been talking with, hey, listen, up ahead, you're going to find these bears, and they're not like the bears that you know. These are not black bears. These are... And it turns out no European American had ever seen them, or at least that was recorded. And Lewis and Clark were the first ones to come across them. They are grizzly bears.
Yeah.
And so they tried to, you know, kill them, and they were having trouble with that.
I shot him, but he's still running.
He's still running. Me. Yeah. Because they would shoot him in the head and it'd still come running. Yeah. And it's just, it's a bear.
A lot of times from distance, you shoot them and they're just going to bounce right off their head.
You'd think for that the Chicago Bears could play a little bit better of a football game. But, yeah.
Really. Not Bears.
Not Bears. They're not doing very well.
No, sorry. Chicago Bears. Hey, how about those Chiefs, though, huh?
Yeah, the Chiefs and the Steelers, my friend.
Meow. Wouldn't that be great?
Well, they're in the same league, so they're going to have to play each other. It's coming.
Oh, that's true. God, yeah. Yep. Oh, well. It is coming.
It is coming.
Winter is coming.
Thanks for joining us on Considering Some Things.
Thank you very much. Everybody have a good night. And remember, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all that stuff.
Have great holidays, people. Take care.
Later.